The verse that I would like to leave with you this morning as our text is the verse 8 of 2 Kings 22. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. The state of religion in Judah had gone into decline after the death of Hezekiah. And it had gone in decline mainly under the rule of Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. And when he came to the throne, he sought wherever possible to reverse everything that his godly father had done in the land. As a 12-year-old king, we're told he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen. What his father had pulled down, Manasseh built up. What his father had built up, Manasseh pulled down. He wanted to remove from his mind every reminder of his godly father and his father's influence. And he wanted to remove from the land every trace of the true worship of God. He was a rebel. Manasseh was a rebel, determined not to follow in the footsteps of his father. He was a rebel like Absalom. Absalom who despised his father David. He was a rebel like the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who disgraced the office of the priesthood and broke the heart of his father. He was a rebel like the two sons of Aaron, who offered to God strange fire. We see from these examples that rebellious sons bring grief and sorrow to their parents. And when you look at the sons that we mentioned and the people that we mentioned, you will find that they all came to the same sorry end. Because God dealt in judgment and in justice with these rebels. But God, who was rich in mercy, extended his grace to Manasseh. And he caused Manasseh to repent. He brought Manasseh to the place of repentance, where he did eventually acknowledge the God of his father. But sadly, the damage was done. And Israel had turned to idolatry. They had turned away from the God of heaven. And they were now worshipping idols and images that had been set up in the house of God by Manasseh. They had built other houses, houses that were used for the worship of the host of heaven, the sun and the moon and the stars. Altars had been built where men, including Manasseh, had offered their children as sacrifices unto the god Moloch. The damage had been done. And when Manasseh died, his son Amon came to the throne, and it was said of him that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. Dear Christian, take note that even though Manasseh was changed and was brought to repentance and to the worship of God, you will notice that his son Amon followed the sinful example that his father had previously set. Amon walked in the ways of his father. He worshipped the idols that his father once worshipped. He walked in the ways that his father once walked in. He didn't happen to follow the good example later set by Manasseh in his life. This shows us that the depraved nature does not need any encouragement to follow in the paths of wickedness. Amon met with a horrible death when his servants conspired against him, slaying him in his own house. He ruled in Judah for just 2 years. Then to the throne came his son Josiah. Look at chapter 22. And verse 2. Concerning Josiah coming to the throne, it says in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Here is an example of that marvelous grace that we were singing off this morning. Because Josiah was the son of Amon. Amon, who had done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, who in turn was the son of Manasseh, who in the early part of his life had done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And out of this home, from this family background, came a young man called Josiah, who did that which was right, who did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not to the left hand nor to the right. Concerning this young man, Josiah, who came to the throne when he was just 8 years of age, we're told something of his path. Verse 2, he walked in all the way of David, his father. Thankfully, he didn't walk in the ways of Amon, his father, but in the ways of David. Notice that it was a straight path. For it says he turned not to the right nor to the left. You will notice also his parent. We have mentioned Amon, his father, but we are told something here about his mother. We read in verse 1, and his mother's name was Jedidah. Now, her name means beloved of God, and her father's name means pleasing to God. I wonder, is it possible that this young man, Josiah, who is an 8-year-old, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord? I wonder, was he taught by his mother? His father was a no good individual, a godless man. A man that did that which was evil in the sight of God. But a wonder was his son Josiah taught by his mother. Because from her name and the name of her father, you see there was a godly influence. Beloved of God, pleasing to God. It was very often the case, and has been in the past, that where fathers have neglected their duty, perhaps even where fathers are unsaved and have lived ungodly lives, it has been left to the mother to instruct the children in the things of God. This is quite possible that was the case here. So we have his path and his parent, and then we have his praying. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3, we have these words. In the 8th year of his reign, means when he was 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He was a wise young man. He started out by doing that which was right in the eyes of God, and we see here that God takes note of even what 8-year-old children do, and how 8-year-old children behave and how they live. And when he was 16, he began to seek the Lord. He began to pray unto the Lord. And it is a wise thing. Men and women seek the Lord, it is most certainly a wise thing for young people to do, to seek the Lord when they are young. And then we notice his purge. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3, he began to purge the land of the idols and the images. See, whenever a young man like Josiah sought the Lord, he began to get rid of the idolatry in the land. And then we have also his project. A project that we can identify with. Because here in 2 Kings chapter 22, we read in verses 6 and 7 that Josiah began to repair the house of the Lord. We read in verse 6, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and use stones to repair the house. And so Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He also, as a young man, began to seek the Lord. He had a burden for the house of God, and he wanted the house of God repaired. And it was while the repairs to the house of God were being carried out that a wonderful discovery was made. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We have taken time to look at the background to this discovery. Years of idolatry. Years of worshipping idols and the neglect of worshipping the true God. Now Josiah comes to the throne. And he engages in a project of repairing the house of God. And it was while these repairs were being carried out that a great discovery was made. Verse 8, our text for today, in Hilkiah, the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law. There's his discovery. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Let us consider these words. And first of all, we consider the king and the book. Because the book that was found in the house of the Lord was then brought to the king. Here we have the king and the book. We see that the Lord richly rewarded Josiah for his repairing of the house of God, because he brought to his attention and brought into his hands a copy of the Word of God, the law of Moses. Now there are those who believe that what was found that day in the house of God, namely the law of Moses, was the only copy of the law in all of the land at that time. It was the only copy of the scriptures that were found in the house of God that day. This would then lead us to think about the preservation of the book. Now what did Hilkiah, the high priest, say unto Shaphan the scribe? He said, I have found the book, I have found the book. That would indicate to us that this book had been lost. And the priest says to Shaphan, I have found the book. Here we have the preservation of the book. The book had been lost, but glory to God, the Lord had preserved the book. And you think of it, that if it's true that this was the only copy of the law of the Lord in all of the land, where would we be today if that copy had been lost forever? God, in His providence and in His sovereignty, preserved the book. This becomes even more of a wonder whenever you think of this, that during the reign of Manasseh, and he reigned for 55 years. Manasseh sat on the throne of Judah for 55 years. He was then followed by Amon his son, who ruled for 2 years. 57 years, almost 60 years. Israel had gone a-holding after other gods. They had turned to idolatry. And we know that the central part of the true worship of God is God's Word. And so whenever the nation worshipped idols, there was no room for the book in their worship. There was no room for the Word of God. Because under Manasseh, the house of God, Bethel, had become Beth-Aven, the house of idols. And with all that Manasseh destroyed, think of it, all that he destroyed, he couldn't place his hand on the book because God preserved the book. God kept the book out of the reach of Manasseh. And God kept the book out of the reach of his son Amon. And all through those years of destruction in the nation of Israel, God preserved his word. from the serpent's attack on the Word of God in the garden to the attempt being made today to destroy this Bible and to destroy this book. Thank God today the Lord has preserved His Word. In spite of all the onslaughts that have been come against this book from hell itself, God has preserved His Word. The Word of God was butchered by Jehudi, for whenever it was read in his hearing, he took his penknife and he cut the Word of God to pieces. The same man burned the book. After he had butchered it, he burned it, throwing it into the fire. But God still preserved the book. This book has been banned in Jerusalem. The disciples, the apostles, were arrested. And they were commanded by the magistrates that they were not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book was banned. But God has preserved the book. Rome sought to bury the book beneath a load of superstition, priestcraft, and idolatry. And in the years leading up to the Great Reformation, the whole of Europe was in darkness because Rome sought to bury the book, but bless the Lord's name, God preserved His Word. And through men like Wycliffe and Tyndale, the book was translated into vulgar tongues that the common man could get a copy of the Scriptures and read it for himself. And the translation of God's Word was the light and the joy of the Reformation. God preserved His Word. And thank God, no matter what attacks are made today upon this book, the Lord will preserve His Word. Hallelujah. Because heaven and earth may pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. So we have the preservation of the book. And then we have the place of the book. Look at what Hilkiah said. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. When Hilkiah found the book in the house of God, he seemed to be somewhat surprised. I have found the book, and I have found it in the house of the Lord. Now, of course, the house of the Lord is the place where we would expect to find the Word of God. But Hilkiah was somewhat surprised that he found it there. Dear Christian, we would be surprised today if in some churches in this land the Bible was found therein. We would be surprised. Because in many churches today, as it was in Israel for almost 60 years, in many churches today the Bible is a forgotten book. And you would be as surprised as Hilkiah if you were to find the book in those churches today. Manasseh, had been king of Judah for 55 years, and Amon for 2 years, almost 60 years of idolatry. And the Bible was a forgotten book. Because the Bible, of course, and idolatry cannot live together. No wonder then that Hilkiah was surprised at finding the Bible in the house of God. We should remember that it was the law of God that the Word of God be read to the people by whoever was occupying the throne. We know that from Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19, and also Deuteronomy 31, if you turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. And verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. And so the law was to be read by whoever sat on the throne. We know that from Deuteronomy 17. And as well as that, whenever the children of Israel gathered to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, their release from Egypt, the law of the Lord was to be read to them. Every man, woman, boy, and girl was to hear the word. And notice what it says. It says also in verse 12, gather the people together, Deuteronomy 31, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Why? Is there no fear of God before men's eyes today? Why? Because the Bible is a forgotten book. Because the Bible is not open today in churches, and the Bible is not preached today. And the Lord, through Moses, said this word must be read in your hearing, that ye might learn and fear the Lord your God. And then we have the presentation of the book. When Hilkiah found the book, he told Shaphan the scribe of his discovery. And we read in our text, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And so here the book is now presented to the king. When Hilkiah found the book, he told Shaphan, who in turn gave it to the king. Turned out to be one of the greatest things that Shaphan ever did in his life. And no doubt he did many great things. Because the discovery of that book by Hilkiah and the presentation of the book to the king brought about a great reformation in the land of Israel. The Reformation that swept throughout Europe was due largely to the translation of God's Word into the common tongue of the men and women who gladly got their hands on it and read it. It's the Word of God that brought about the great Reformation from popery that swept throughout Europe. You remember the words of William Tyndale. Tyndale, replying to one of Rome's clerics, said, "If God shall spare my life, ere many years I will cause a boy that driveth a plough to know more of the Scriptures than thou dost." That was the burden of Tyndale, to get the Scriptures into the hands of the common people. And he says, a boy working at a plough will know more of the Scriptures than the clerics of Rome. That was his burden. My, how different this dear land of Canada would be if every politician read the book, if every politician made their laws and governed according to the statutes of this book. What a different nation we would have. And then we have the king and his brokenness. When Shaphan the scribe received the book and read it to the king, we're given here the king's reaction. For verse 11 tells us that Shaphan read it before the king. Verse 11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. So here was the king's reaction. And the book was opened and read to him. We're told that he rent his clothes, and we all know that the rending of the clothes is a symbol of a rent heart, of a broken heart. See the effect that the Word of God had on King Josiah? This tells us that this king had a tender heart, a sensitive heart. He was sensitive to what the Word of God said. I wonder what passage of the law of Moses was read to the king that day that caused him such distress and caused him to rend his garments. I wonder, was it what is written in Deuteronomy 28? You turn, please, to Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, the Lord tells Israel that if they obey His word and His commandments, that the nation will be blessed. Verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, and so on and so forth, down to the end of verse 14. Now verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And right to the end of the chapter, God pronounces a curse on the nation who turns from him and worships idols. And there was a Deuteronomy. It was read to the king that day. that caused him to rend his garments. Josiah reacted to the word of the Lord. His reaction would indicate the sensitivity of the king to the word of God and to the sins of the nation. Isn't it interesting that when Hilkiah found the book, we're told that he gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Shaphan read the book. But there's no indication here that he was broken when he read the book. It was whenever the book was read to the king and King Josiah, it was when he heard it that he was broken. See the difference. Perhaps Shaphan was not just as sensitive. Perhaps his heart was not just as tender. He wasn't as sensitive to sin and to the law of God as Josiah was. You remember whenever the temple was built in Nehemiah and Ezra's day, the word of the Lord was read to the people. And we're told in Ezra 9 verse 4, "There assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those who had been carried away." They trembled when they heard the word of God. In other words, the word of God rebuked them and rebuked their sin, and they trembled. The word trembled means to be in trepidation of heart. In other words, when the word of God was read to them, it touched their hearts. It challenged them. It rebuked them for their sin. And when the word of God was read to Josiah, it touched his heart. And he was rebuked. And he rent his clothes and went into mourning. Why? It was because of sin. Because of the sin of the nation. And dear Christian, we need to pray that God will give us a heart that is sensitive. Well, whenever the word of God is read, when the word of God is preached, and our sin through God's word is brought to our attention, that we do not dismiss it as Manasseh did, when the prophets were sent to Manasseh to challenge him about his sin, he dismissed them. They would not have a heart like Manasseh, that when the word of God challenges us and rebukes us and brings our sin to our attention, may we not dismiss it, but mourn over it and have our sin put beneath the blood. So Josiah was broken. We have here the king's reaction, then we have the king's request. Because we're told that whenever he heard the book of the law, it was read to him, that he rent his clothes. We're told that he sent his servants, verse 13, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people of all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." What did the reading of the book to Josiah do? It first of all touched his heart, and he was challenged about the sin of the nation. And then it drove him to the Lord. Whenever he heard what the Word of God said, he was a broken man, and in turn he was driven to the Lord. Dear Christian, whenever God's Word highlights our sin, whenever God's Word brings to our attention our sin, our failings, and our shortcomings, that should drive us to the Lord. Because that is what the Word of God does for us. That is the sanctifying work of God's Word. The Lord prayed for His people in John 17. And verse 17, the Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What is sanctification? It's a work of God's free and sovereign grace whereby we are enabled to die unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. We know that the things we did the week after we were saved, we do not do them now. God's Word has revealed to us we ought not to do those things as Christians. We ought not to say those things as Christians. We don't do or say those things anymore. That's the work of sanctification. And the Word of God highlights these things, brings these things to our attention, continues that work of sanctification and drives us to the Lord. And we go to the Lord for cleansing and for help to live for Him. Next followed the king's reformation. The king's reformation, when he was given a better understanding of God's Word and what he ought to do, he acted upon it. First of all, we see the congregation and the law. Chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And what did he do? He opened the book, and he began to read. He restored that which had been neglected for many years. The reading of the Word of God in the hearing of the people. You have the congregation and the law. And dear Christian, if we have overlooked something in our lives in the past, something we have neglected, that we once did, when God's Word draws our attention to it, let us get back to that place where we once were and restore again those things that we once did, as Josiah did. We have the congregation and the law. We have the covenant with the Lord. His covenant with the Lord. Verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. He had been challenged in his heart. Things that had been neglected had been drawn to his attention. He sought to put them right, and he said, from today on, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk in His ways. And he stood there by a pillar in the church of God and made this covenant with God, and all the people stood with him. There are those times in our lives when we must come to that pillar, as it were, in the church and rededicate ourselves and our lives to God.